best thing about David was that he always remembered that in the end it was all about God, and he was mostly sorry that he had hurt God, and he wanted to remind everybody in the kingdom that it was about God, the nation was about God, and they should all be trying to please God.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast that you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
All right, I need all the young people to come and sit here on the front row there, all the young folks. And tomorrow will be Eric's first day of duty as the official new youth and associate minister, which will make him officially the big kid. So what that means is Eric up here on the front row. Now, for those who weren't here before, you can pick one. It's an important choice. There we go. All right. You get to take these home. After you've slobbered on them, I don't want them back. Now, we're going to do a little practice and test run here. And then I want you to hang on to those and remember they are not to be used except at the specific moment. Now, when I say in the course of the sermon, anytime I say the words, the king of old, what I want is about 3 seconds worth of good party noise making. And I'll try to help you count it off. You're like, oh my gosh, dude, I guess. And then at the end of the 3 seconds, you shout out all together, the king of old. Are you ready? We're going to practice this. When I say it, 3 seconds of good party noisemaker celebration followed by shouting out the king of old. Ready? The king of old. Okay, a little more unified at the end. A little more unified. Okay, let's try that again. A little more unified. I'm sorry, Ava, did you want a noisemaker? No, okay. Just check. All right, ready? The king of old. That was better. That was better. One of these kids has a low voice. All right. So now you gotta stay awake and pay attention because it's not gonna be for a few minutes. But when I say the words, and any time I say the words, the king of old. All right. Good. Good. Just so the rest of you know, I'm only going to say those words about 100 times in the course of the sermon. To understand the 74th Psalm, the portion that we read and the two portions of it that we did not read, you need to understand the background. It's all about kings. Didn't say the rest of it, just said kings. That doesn't count. It's all about kings. And Israel had some experience with kings. Their first king, first technical king, was a guy whose name was Saul. And Saul had some good things about him. He was a big, strong man and a valiant warrior. And he did a lot of good in defending his people against their enemies and keeping them safe in that way. And he was good at that. But he had some bad things about him, too. The biggest bad thing was that he had no patience for waiting on God. If God was like 10 seconds later than Saul thought he ought to be and doing something, Saul got all anxious and nervous, and in the end, he had to try to launch in and take care of it himself, even though God was saying, wait, I've got this, just wait. No good at waiting. And that impatience caused him first to do mildly bad things, and then later to do much worse things, and ended by murdering all the priests in the city of Nob, and just took him further and further and further away from God, so that he started out okay and he finished badly. And after Saul came another king whose name was David. And David is called the man after God's own heart. And I think that we can say in some respects he was the king after God's own heart. Now, this is not to say David was perfect. David made some big mistakes in his personal life. Did things that I hope none of you young people ever, ever do. But he did some bad things and he had to pay a price. And the kingdom had to pay a price. But the best thing about David was that he always remembered that in the end it was all about God. And he was mostly sorry that he had hurt God. And he wanted to remind everybody in the kingdom that it was about God. The nation was about God. And they should all be trying to please God. But sometimes David slipped up and was not so pleasing to God as at other times. And he caused a great deal of trouble for the people over which he was king, so that he became responsible for their failings and many of their deaths because of his mistakes. And when David died, his son Solomon became king. Now, where Saul had been a strong and brave warrior, Solomon was okay at that too, but he was much better at business. He was very smart for business, and he could make loads of money. He turned all kinds of things into lots of money, and the nation grew very rich while Solomon was king. And Solomon used some of that money to build a big, glorious, beautiful temple to God. And because he had made so much money, he filled the temple with decorations and items to be used in worship that were made of gold. They put a lot of jewels in there, and the temple was so beautiful that people came from far away just to see this wonderful temple that Solomon had built to the glory of God. But Solomon had his troubles too. Number one, he had too many wives. It says, just as a starter, that Solomon had 300 wives. Now, I tried this in the 8 o'clock service, and no, I'm going to pick somebody else, Caden, because I worked with Caden in the 8 o'clock service, and I got an answer that we had to work on a revision. So Jake, you're sitting back here listening, right, Jen, Joe? All right, Jake, if a man has 300 wives, how many wives too many does he have? If he has 300 wives, how many too many wives is that?
299.
Oh, very good. Because Caden said first off, 300. And he was sitting right next to his mom. So yes, 299 too many. And then Solomon had 700 other women who were only sort of his wives. So now he had 1,000 wives and kind of wives. And Elijah, how many too many is that? 999 too many wives. And those wives came from all over the place, different countries, including at least one who was a princess down in Egypt. And when these wives came to live in Israel, they didn't all want to worship the one true God. Some of them wanted to continue to worship the phony, fake, make-believe gods they had worshiped back where they came from. And Solomon, because he loved, or at least this is what he told himself, because he loved his wives, he found himself unable to tell them no. And so when they said, "We want to continue to worship the gods that we grew up with," Solomon said, "Okay, go ahead." And then because he was so good at making money, he gave them money to build shrines and altars to honor the gods that they grew up with. And because he could just never tell them no at all, when they finally asked him to, he went with them to the shrines and the altars that he gave them the money to build to their phony make-believe gods from back home. And the king of Israel, servant of the one true God, bowed down at the altars of the make-believe gods with his foreign wives and worshiped them. And God sent word to Solomon. He said, because you have done this when you have died, and your son, and I know I'm getting a lot of kings in here, but when your son Rehoboam becomes king, I will take away the biggest part of the kingdom from him. Israel had 12 tribes. The people were divided into 12 groups. And God said, I will take away 10 of them and give them to somebody else. That would leave Rehoboam with how many? Two. Only two out of what had been 12. So he took away the big part. And God said, I'll even name the guy. I will give the 10 tribes to a guy named Jeroboam who works for Solomon. And Solomon was so desperate that this not happen to his son that he thought, if I kill Jeroboam, there will be nobody to take the kingdom away from my son. So he set out to murder Jeroboam, but Jeroboam didn't want to be murdered. Imagine. And so he ran off to Egypt, where he took shelter with the king of Egypt, a man by the name of Shishak. Remember this, Shishak. Say Shishak. I bet you can't say it 10 times. Shishak, Shishak. Okay. So Jeroboam ran off to Egypt and sheltered with Shishak. You can't say that 10 times. No, sheltered with Shishak. Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. Yeah. And Solomon died. And his son Rehoboam became king. And he proved right away that he was not going to be a good king. And the people were unhappy with King Rehoboam. And Shishak, the king of Egypt, chose this moment to do some things. He helped Jeroboam, who he was sheltering, to move back into Israel, and he gave him money and advice and help and set him up in the north part of the country. And just like God said, 10 of the tribes, because almost everybody hated Rehoboam, 10 of the tribes flocked to Jeroboam. And it used to be the whole place was called Israel, but now Jeroboam, with the backing of Shishak, the king of Egypt, had most of the kingdom, and the little bit that was left in the south got renamed Judah, and that belonged to Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And then Jeroboam did one more thing. He says to Shishak, I know this is getting confusing, but bear with me because I'm almost to the end. Jeroboam says to Shishak, he says, you know, if you was to, say, attack Rehoboam in Judah, I probably just wouldn't send any soldiers. And I have 10 of the 12 tribes, and I probably just wouldn't like send any soldiers to help if you were just to like attack Rehoboam. So Shishak brings his army up out of Egypt, and he begins to conquer one town after another in Judah until he comes to Jerusalem, the capital where Rehoboam lives. And when he got there, Rehoboam didn't even fight. He opened the gates and he came out and he says to Shishak, oh, you are the great king. You are the great king and I will do anything you want. And Shishak says, all right then, give me a lot of gold. And Rehoboam, Solomon's son, went to the temple that Solomon built, and he took out all the gold stuff that Solomon had put there to help worship God, and he just brought it out, and he gave it to Shishak, who took it home to Egypt and used part of it to worship the phony make-believe gods there. And used part of it, oddly, to make gold and silver caskets for family members to be buried in. If I haven't already lost the kids, I'll lose them now. So adults, pay attention for a minute. There is in Egypt, at the ruined temple of Karnak, a carving which tells the same story from the Egyptian point of view. And it shows King Shishak standing with a big club stretched over the heads of a bunch of prisoners in chains, and each prisoner is standing on a circle, and each circle has the name of a town in Judah that he conquered on his way up. And Jerusalem isn't on there. There's a couple of things. One, part of the carving has been destroyed and fallen away, and maybe Jerusalem and its big circle was there with its picture of Rehoboam about to be clubbed on the head by Shishak, or possibly because Jerusalem didn't even fight, just surrendered and gave up the goal without a struggle. Possibly he didn't put Jerusalem on the carving, but the Egyptian kings remembered that they had gone into the territory of Judah, and they laughed at the God of Judah because they took all his gold and brought it back to Egypt. Now, naturally, the people of Judah were unhappy about all of this, partly because a lot of people died in those cities that did fight back and lost, and partly because all their brothers up in the northern kingdom had not come to help them, and partly because all the gold that Solomon had put in the temple was gone. And partly because they thought their king, Rehoboam, was a low-down, good-for-nothing, yellow-bellied coward who gave everything away and didn't even fight. And he had the biggest city, the most soldiers, much more power to fight than all those little towns that Shishak had just stomped on. And when he got to Jerusalem, Rehoboam did nothing except give away the gold, and he could have got gold from some other places, but he took the gold from the temple and he gave it away without a fight. And people were unhappy about that. And there was one guy who was particularly unhappy. His name was Asaph. And his job was to write worship music and lead people in singing the worship music in the temple. And he was particularly upset that all the things of value in the temple had been taken out and given away, and that the Egyptians were laughing at the one true God. And he did what a songwriter would do. He wrote a song. And the song he wrote is Psalm number 74. And it's in three sections. The first section, which we did not read, Asaph says how bad it is. How bad it is that the Egyptians took all the gold, the pagans took the gold, and everybody's laughing at them and their reliance on God, and the king is a coward, and it's just really bad. He spends the first part of the psalm saying how bad it is. And then he gets to the second part of the psalm, and he says, there was a better time. There was a time when everything wasn't like this. There was a time when we had a king who wasn't a coward. There was a time when we had a king who would have stood up. There was a time when we had a king who would never have let these things happen. There was a better time with a better king, the king of old. You know who used to protect us from every threat and whip up on all our enemies, no matter how many soldiers and horses and chariots there were, and who would never have given away the temple gold to a pagan king for his phony made-up god? You know what king that would never have let this happen? It was the king of old. You know who is not only stronger than any scary pagan king, but stronger than even big scary sea monsters who could crush Leviathan like a bug? You know who could do that? It was the king of old. You know who never, ever, ever let us starve? Even when we were out in the wilderness where there like isn't anything to eat and food is hard to find and impossible to grow. But you know who never let us starve even when we were in the wilderness? It was the king of all. know who controls the water? Makes it start flowing, makes it stop flowing, so that we're neither drowned nor dying of thirst. You know who does all that? It is the King of old. You know who causes the sun and the moon to shine so that we don't live in perpetual darkness? It's the King of old. You know who makes sure that summer and winter come at the right time and everything happens so that we can prosper? It is the King of old. That king was so much better than the lousy king that we have now. And who was that king? I'm going to let you vote, and you can vote with your noisemakers. When you think I have named this king who is stronger than any pagan king and squashes sea monsters like bugs and controls the weather and the moon and the sun and the water and makes everything just right for his people, when you think I have named this king, I want you to vote with your noisemakers. Are you ready? Was it Shishak? Was it Saul? Was it Solomon? Jeroboam? Rehoboam? Okay, David. No? Well, who was it? It was God. In fact, if you... Not yet. Well, no, I did say... Okay, yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes. Okay. If you read, or if you listened, when Elijah read the very first verse of the passage that we had, verse 12, it said, God is the King of old. Almost done. Then there's a third part of the psalm. First, you tell how bad it is under the present king. Then you tell how good it used to be under the King of old. And the last part, you pray that he will take you back. And see, all those other kings, the kings that messed things up, even David messed things up, all those other kings, they died. And you couldn't get them back on the throne even if you wanted because they died. But God never dies. And he is just as good today as he was 3,000 years ago when Asaph wrote this song and said all those things about him. He loves you just as much today as he loved his people then. He is just as able to make us prosperous and safe and happy today as he was all that time ago when Asaph said these things. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the King of old. And we will never be happy until he is the King of us. And he's ready to be. And if he is not your king, you don't know what a good king is. But he is ready to be. If you ask him, like Asaph did in the last part of his psalm.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.